Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
And we're on.
And we're on.
Hey, everyone. I'm Liam, the daughter.
I'm Lori, I'm the mom.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Happy birthday, Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
Yay.
4 years.
We're 4 years old. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Am I going to get emotional? I don't know. I feel very, like, peaceful about it this year. I'm like,
dude.
I feel like we're elders at this point.
We're over the hill.
We're over the hill. Yeah.
We're old hats.
I feel like we've been doing this for so fucking long in a good way. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
But fuck, 4 years is a long time.
I mean, that's some staying powder. Powder.
What's that? Tell me about that.
It's a movie about a young man.
No, god damn it, stop bringing up that emotional ass movie.
Always try to work it in there. Staying power.
Yes,
you know, 4 years is long in the podcast world.
Look at us fucking go.
Woo!
And these last 4 years have been a fucking doozy for everyone. I think we can all
for
agree
the world.
Yeah,
yeah,
holy shit. And we are no exception.
And then us also.
Yeah, in our personal lives. Wowza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to tell you about that someday.
Yeah. Jake wants us to do like a mega tea spill on Patreon where we just like have a shot.
Let it rip and let it ride.
Just fucking let it rip, because some of the shit you guys would be like, what the fuck?
We need to write a book.
Like our secret lore, like some of the shit that, and I know like everyone feels like this, like just stuff that happens.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That like you have a shot of whiskey one night and a cigar and you're like, let me fucking tell you about it. Make that like 10 shots of whiskey.
Oh my gosh.
But with that said, like moving into the fourth year, we've been through much. We've grown so much.
Gosh, we have.
Yeah, things.
You know,
are
if
like,
you've been around since the beginning, geez, thank you.
Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, and some of you were here before that even.
Yeah, with the Hedgewitch Apothecary.
Hedgewitch Apothecary.
I cannot speak today.
You had one. We're having like a mini beverage.
I know.
Are you going to be okay?
I think so. Am I already litty titty?
Yeah, litty titty. Well, the fact that you said the phrase litty titty, it's not pointing good.
I've only had
pointing
two
anywhere
sips.
Good. I was gonna say like we're keeping pace with each other.
I'm a lightweight at this point in time.
Cheers!
Yay.
Oh my god! Yeah, I'm just excited.
Yeah,
we asked everyone on Instagram and Patreon like what their favorite moments were, and it's just like all the funny shit.
Yeah,
like Tim Curry came up.
Forget.
My god, no,
Sigourney Weaver.
Hey, never forget. Never
Tim
forget
Curry.
Tim Curry. First of all, how dare you? We are gonna make Tim Curry shirts. Sigourney Reefer. It was a. I need to find the clips. I think that was you both times.
Was it?
Yeah. People pick on me, but you fuck up a lot. And it's always hilarious. Because it's so innocent.
I try my best.
I know. And then a lot of people just said, like, they have liked getting to know us.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Look at us. Wow. Two little introverts.
I know. Who would have thunk it?
Coming out of our shells. It only took 4 years.
Twice a week for the past 4 years.
That's what it has like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it has forced us.
Welcome.
What was that?
That is my maniacal laugh.
I know, but why? Why did you insert it there?
Okay. Because you come along on the personal ride.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's scary.
It is dark and scary in here.
Yeah.
Hey. Thanks for being here. Yes. If you're new here, if you've been here for a while.
Oh my gosh.
Whatever.
Yeah. If you've been here from the beginning, we started in the middle of the pandemic. We moved across the country.
We've moved like 50 times.
Yeah. And we moved back across the country, back to Pittsburgh.
Who knows what's going to happen again for me?
And stay tuned, folks.
Can you keep up?
Let me lose my breath.
Yeah, it has been, like I said, a wild ride.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're just fun. Yeah. We're just having fun. What was this little thing they call life? Life is a highway. That's gonna mean something in a minute.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm ready. I feel like this is
ready
our
for
year.
The next chapter.
I feel like a lot of cool shit.
I mean,
is
we've
coming.
I mean, if you really think back about it, you know, I just can't talk today. But if you really think back,
it's the gin.
I'm so overcome with emotion, I cannot get my words out.
Gin makes me really smart. Remember, the gin brain has returned.
But
it does
it
not do
me,
the same for Lore.
No. Does it make me emotional?
Maybe a little. Yeah. I can't talk either, so.
And not smart is what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, we have really done some cool things.
We have.
Yeah.
In the past year, we've really like amped it up.
Yeah.
Thanks to all of you. We did the Pittsburgh City Paper thing and we were interviewed and we've interviewed a lot of people this year.
Television.
That was new.
Yeah. We were on
God.
TV.
Don't fucking remind
me.
Yeah.
Right.
I do things sometimes and then I'm like, I never want to talk about this ever again. If I think too much about it, I will never sleep.
Yeah. We got to go to a fancy schmancy party and get an award and we got to interview some cool people.
You mean that fancy party in which you wore the house flip flops?
That's correct. Hey, you know,
you will never live that down.
Be yourself.
Jake once a week is like, I can't believe she wore these to that party because he's wearing them too. It's still the universal flop. God.
You know, when you only own two pair of shoes, it's really hard to choose.
Pathetic. We are going to amp it up this year. Okay.
We say that every year.
We're getting makeovers. Yeah.
Are we?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like if we go back to our birthday episodes, I'm sure we've said this every year.
I keep saying, Michael Caine, where are you? Miss Congeniality me right now.
She wants it.
Dude, yeah. I need it. I'm going to walk out of there like Sandra Bullock flipping my hair with
you
my
would
shades
be.
On. Dude,
yeah.
I would do it.
I feel like I have
and
a little
then
bit
I
of
would
hurt.
Trip and fall. And par for the course.
And it'd be fucking hilarious.
La 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 la.
Oh, shit. What are you excited for this year?
Mm.
When we talk to you next year, year five, what are we going to be like, hey, we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My gosh. I don't know.
I
we have had
travel.
Our heads down and we have just been like hitting this so, 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 so hard.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we haven't even come down to celebrate, you know, the wins and, you know, because you're just like so entrenched in it. And I think this year we are definitely what I'm looking forward to is kind of making a little bit of that separation so we get back to ourselves. Like, you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, like we've been a cohesive unit for the past 4 years, just like grinding it.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And now we feel like we've kind of like, I don't know. We've kind of turned a new, I feel like we're going in a positive direction. So now we can all be like, okay, now we can breathe for
a
minute
bit.
And start like, and especially me, like, you know, anyone out there who has become a parent, because Jake feels like this too. Obviously when you're the one who, you know, gives birth, there's extra stuff, but you feel so separated from yourself there too, because you know, you're taking care of someone else and it's not, you know, about you. And so you just kind of get, and so
zone.
I'm ready. I'm starting to finally come out of that fog too. And I'm like, okay, like what does Lee want to explore this year and all together? Like we want to do it all together.
Yes.
But just like, I don't know. Yeah. And I feel us like calming down.
Yeah. I feel a little bit calmer.
Yeah. Not so much foot on the gas. Not like, oh my God, a car pun. Oh my God, we're going to be very automotive today.
Yeah.
Not that we don't have our foot on the gas, but just in like a different, not as like aggressively.
I mean, we have had our foot on the gas for the past 4 years going, you know, gone in 60 seconds.
Full throttle.
Oh
my God.
Throttle.
How many like car things do you think we can slip in today? Do you think we should make it like a game a little bit?
Yeah, a car pun game. I love it.
I can't drive
55.
We're just going to randomly
sing
say
it, Sammy.
Yeah.
Sing it.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So I just feel like, yes, we are still going at, you know, full speed, but I think we're also like, in order to keep doing that, we also have to tend to ourselves. And that's one of the lessons I've learned a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like I need to
And our community, like all of you, you know what I mean? Like we've really built up Patreon.
It's such a lovely community over on Patreon. I love it so much. And I, you know, I can't say it enough because when you do have like as many people out there as we do, it's really hard to know who is who. And so it's really nice in the Patreon to be able to be like, and because you've been mostly the social media person and I don't know jack shit about social media, you know, I'm in there and I'm trying to
Laura's talking and Laura is understanding how to use a phone keyboard. She's learning things, everyone. She's making jokes. She's sending memes.
Learned how to do that the other day. But I am really enjoying getting to know everybody. And it's been very lovely getting to know like their music and their likes and their dislikes.
And you see friendships and, forming and trust and a lot of, I don't know. It's very cool. So thank you all. I mean, that's all thanks to you. And
for the support, for the love, for, you know, just keep rocking in our corner, man.
Just keep rocking in our
corner.
I took what you said. Okay. I did ask, you know, we asked on Patreon for some feedback. Really, the only thing we've gotten is that people want Fact Check Jake back. And we hear you. And that is, you know, on our, that is like number one on our
agenda
to-do list in the next year is to figure that out. And I'm feeling good about it. I feel like, he's ready. And October is, you know, my God, she's Little Miss Independent. So she might share.
She's going to be like up at the mic
She's going to want her own microphone. My God. She would talk to you all for a few hours too. She's very chatty.
She is.
But hey, we love you all.
Yes.
And we just really appreciate you being here. It has been a wonderful 4 years. We've learned so much. We have our own little like coven and it's just very cool. And we feel very grateful. Eternally grateful.
Yes. And loved. And we love you back.
We love you back. Here we go, year four.
Here we go.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
See what the next year holds for us.
I feel like we are going to travel and that leads us into our topic.
Yes.
Okay, so first little Patreon. Okay, go check it out. We do have two new patrons to thank.
Oh, wonderful.
We have Linz and Kelly.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. Go check it out. There's a lot of cool shit happening over there.
So much
people
cool
are
stuff.
Playing games on other apps now.
Yeah.
There's like competitions. I'm getting a little heated. There's a music competition currently happening in one of the chats.
And, there we go.
Go so check much it happening. Out and rate us on Spotify and Apple.
Please.
Come on, it's our 4 year birthday.
Yeah.
Go do it.
It's a gift to us.
We have a themey episode today.
We do.
I don't really know why we
did
this.
And you were in charge. You said, let me take the wheel.
Let me
put my foot on the gas and take the wheel.
Oh my God. Hey, there's one.
There we go.
There. Yeah. You all have to drink or smoke whenever we do an automotive.
You know,
because for some
reason, we love automotives.
For some reason, our theme today is cars.
Yeah.
And I, as I was planning for this, I said, how the fuck did this happen?
How did this happen?
Actually, it's a joke that we don't know fucking shit about
it
cars.
It harkened me back to that episode.
I don't
where
even
we
have
went,
a car.
Where we went for the oil change.
Exactly.
And I did not know how to pop the hood.
If you've been here for a while, you fucking know. We don't know what's going on in that world.
We don't know nothing about cars.
Nope.
Automotives. Nope.
Grease. That's about as far as my knowledge goes is what I learned from Grease.
It's automatic. And Danny Zuko.
It's Grease Lightning. That song was risque. Gosh.
You know what? John Travolta's going to pop up later in the chat.
Hello, John. Is he?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Hello, John. So, Lore, you picked your movie.
Yes.
I said, what do you want to do for our fourth birthday?
Yeah.
And you picked Christine.
I did.
If you saw the title,
love
that's
it.
No spoiler.
Yeah.
Love it. And I was like, well, then obviously I have to do cars.
Yeah. Why not? Cars.
I don't know why, obviously, but like.
Why not?
Obviously I have to do cars. We love a fucking theme. No one requested this.
Yeah, no.
I just wanted to do it. I don't, what do you want from me? I just really wanted it to be a theme.
Okay. You took the helm. So explain.
We do have some themed things around the room.
Yeah,
if you're watching on Patreon, you will see.
Uh-huh.
Our drinks are red. like Lightning McQueen from my film
and Christine
from yours. Mm-hmm. We did find some things thrifting. Weirdly, we found a Lightning McQueen plate.
Yeah.
In a little car's gas oil, you know, tin.
Yeah.
Are you proud?
No Christine mementos. Although you do have a car somewhere. It's still packed.
So yeah, I'm sure when we get to your topic, we'll talk mm-hmm. about, I was like obsessed with that car. So I used to have a few toy cars.
Yeah.
I don't know where the fuck they went though.
They're
rest
somewhere.
In peace.
They're somewhere.
I'm sure someone else is playing with them. I also have a tray of, I don't know why I feel like awkward. I feel like Ricky Bobby when he doesn't know what to say or do with his hands. Hey, that's another car.
There you go. Talladega Nights.
I have a tray of flaming hot mm-hmm. snacks. Mm-hmm. Do you get it? Flames.
Yeah, for the cars.
For the cars.
Yeah.
We have flaming hot Cheetos. Funyuns.
Flaming hot Funyuns?
Yes. And flaming hot Doritos.
Wow.
Not Swans.
Okay.
So if you hear us crunch at all during, I feel like
we're... Is this a game we're playing?
Yeah, I feel like at any time, by the end of this episode, we each have had to have tried
one of these. Okay.
Because I wonder if they're actually flaming hot.
What do you think?
I don't know.
I better not drink all of my Bev. I noticed that you've got a spare tire here. With a number four candle.
I also have a number four candle to celebrate. Yeah. We're going to light that later. And it is sitting in a chocolate donut hole because it looks like a tire. Are you proud of me?
And you got your little glass Coke bottles.
I do. Yeah.
Because 50s. You know,
yeah, your movie
is
kind of like,
set in the 50s.
Yeah, and my lesson is going to take us to the 50s a little bit. You know, I did the damn thing.
Where's the gummy burgers? That's, you know.
Yes, for later, I also have a pack of, like, diner food gummy snacks. Because I feel like, I don't know, 50s diner, whatever.
Yeah.
You see how I went there.
I see where your mind was taking
it. Okay, so rate me 1 to 10.
I'm there for you.
Rate me 1 to 10.
I mean, am I going against my jaw lie?
July is coming up very quickly.
I'm already planning. You know what? And I'm already in preparation for next year's festivities for year five.
Do any of our listeners have a boat? Because I feel like for year five, we have to be on a boat.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because you know what? Next year it will be flippity-flop. And you got Jaws 1. Oh my God, we got to be on a boat.
We
got to
be on a boat. Someone hit us up. Okay, yeah, make that happen. Right. DM Lore directly.
You know what? Jaws is going to come back around later in the episode.
Oh, God. So anyway, yeah, back to the cars, though.
Yeah.
Last year, our theme for our birthday was dolls. This year, it's cars. Remember? I don't know. We do weird things. Keep up.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to talk about cars today.
I love it.
Before I start, do you want to try one of the chips? Let's get one in there. Which one do you want to try?
Start first.
If you don't like mukbangs or like ASMR... You know what? Jump ahead. I'll have Fact Check Jake put a time slot for every time we crunch to jump ahead.
I'm going to go Cheeto. Okay.
I'm going Cheeto first. What do you want?
All right. I'll go Cheeto.
I'm shocked you didn't go Funyun.
Well, you know.
Laura loves a Funyun.
I do love a Funyun. I don't know about a Flaming Hot Funyun.
Okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1, crunch. Okay. Oh, my God.
Do you think there's any real ingredients in this Cheeto?
Someone's wetting their pants out there after that sound. That was a good crunch.
Was it?
Yeah.
Is there real cheese in this Cheeto?
Lord, why do you ask fucking questions you don't want to know the answer to? This isn't hot.
I feel like this is Franken food.
I feel, you know what?
Hey, it's not too hot.
It's not flaming hot at all.
It is not flaming hot.
I give that a 2. It's not. It tastes like a Cheeto.
Yeah.
So
not flaming hot.
Okay, cars.
Okay.
Hey, we're one down.
One down.
One snack down.
Okay.
Cars came out in 2006.
Did it really?
It did. And I saw it in the theater. My little brother was into this movie and he was into the sequel. So I've seen them all. And yeah. I like this movie. I think this movie is cute. There are a lot of like actual NASCAR or like race car references in this movie. Okay. Like some of the voice actors are people from that world. So if you like that kind of stuff, this is a very cute movie.
It's a very cute. You know what? I don't care for cars.
I knew that was good.
I've never seen this movie.
Oh my God, have you not?
I've never seen this movie.
Oh, you're going to love it. Hold on.
For automotives.
Okay.
But that did not deter me from taking a free trip to NASCAR one year in North Carolina.
You went to NASCAR?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. My friend was like, hey, I got a free trip. And I was like, I'm there.
I'm there. You said free?
I'm there.
Okay.
You said free? I'm so there.
I'm so there.
It was quite the experience.
I love that
for
you.
I have been witness to the race car track.
Okay, so you know what I'm about to talk about. All right, we'll go there because that's where we're going with this movie.
Okay.
This is a Disney Pixar animated comedy / adventure film, rated G. Okay. So all of your favorite things.
General audience.
Here's your tagline. It's drive time. No, 0 out of 10. That's so bad. Or I also saw, our cars speak for themselves. 2 out of 10. Because it intrigued me a little bit. Why are the cars talking?
Lackluster.
We're going to learn.
They're magical.
They are. That's why we're talking about today at Uncle Bob's. Thank you. This was directed by John Lasseter and Joe Ranft. It was written by Lasseter, Ranft, Dan Fogelman, Keel Murray, Phil Lauren, and Jorgen Klubian. Yes, it took that many people to write this film.
Wow, that's a lot.
I was stunned.
It's an original concept.
You know what it is? A little bit. Here's your voice cast.
Yeah, I know Owen Wilson is in there. Right?
Owen Wilson is Lightning McQueen, and I think he has a really good voice.
He does.
For like voice acting. Yeah. Bonnie Hunt.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Owen, what are you doing here? Yeah, that was a good one. I think he does say, wow. Wow. You just watched Wedding Crashers. Don't act like you didn't. She's going through a Vince
Vaughn. I was on a Vince Vaughn phase. I still am.
I think maybe you have a little bit of a crush on Vince Vaughn. Maybe a little bit.
Dude, adorbs.
I think
adorbs.
He plays Dungeons and Dragons, which is like kind of hot.
Him and Matty L. Okay. Oh. They're playing together.
Wait, hold on. That's really hot. Hold on, wait, I'm going to think about it. Put Jake in there and I'm sold. Okay. Jake's going to get really mad. Okay, Bonnie Hunt as Sally Carrera.
Love her.
Bonnie Hunt was everywhere.
Return to Me. My favorite.
Is that okay? Because there's two Hunts.
Yeah.
There's Helen.
That's Helen.
And there's Bonnie. Are they sisters?
I can't answer that. Okay. I do not know if they're related.
Oh, I
Bonnie,
think they look
hilarious.
They look very much alike.
Helen, not so much.
Wow. Helen, I'm so sorry for
not humorous.
Helen, I'm so sorry. I did not know this was your roast. She's not even in this movie. She's like, what the fuck does this have to do with me?
Bonnie and Jim Belushi.
In Return to Me. Hilarious. Me and Jake, side note, started watching Belushi's weed show. He grows weed in Oregon. It's fucking hilarious. Okay. We have Paul Newman as Doc Hudson.
Love it.
You love Paul Newman.
I love Paul Newman.
I love his dressing.
I love his dressing. Love his popcorn. Love his Fig Newmans.
I do see him in my fridge a lot.
The Fig Newmans?
His face
good.
Is there. Dude, his Fig Newmans?
Freaking
you
good.
Used to be able to get them at Big Lots. Also not sponsored. So at one point,
because nobody wanted them.
So at one point, I just had like stacks of Fig Newmans.
I love a Fig Newman.
I bought them all up. I love a Fig Newman. Way to go, bud. We have Larry the Cable Guy as Mater. He was also everywhere for a minute there.
He was.
We have Cheech Marin. Welcome back. As Ramon. Cheech. We love to see you.
Where's Tommy?
I know. I was surprised he wasn't also involved. Where's the chonger? That sounded dirty. We have Tony Shalhoub
Luigi.
I like Monk. Tony Shalhoub. Yes, Monk. And 13 Ghosts. Underrated.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Tony Shalhoub. We have Guido Caroni as Guido.
Okay.
There you go. Jennifer Lewis as Flo. George Carlin as Fillmore. Weren't we just talking about George Carlin?
Yeah.
Was he in Jay and Silent Bob?
He was. Strikes Back.
Yes.
Okay. And Dogma. Was he in Dogma? Yes. He was Cardinal Glick.
Oh my God. Yes, he was. Okay. Hey, we have Michael Keaton of Pittsburgh fame.
Pittsburgh fame.
As Chick Hicks.
Chick Hicks.
Yes. We have Richard Petty as the King, and he is an actual or was. I don't,
race car
I don't
driver.
Know if he's still alive. I'm so sorry.
Is he any relation
I hope he
to
is.
Tom?
No, Petty. It took me a minute. I have no
Free
idea.
Falling.
He is an actual race car driver. Yes, there you go. And then we have John Ratzenberger as Mac.
He's from Cheers.
Oh my God, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers, way to go. Okay, are you ready for the rundown?
Yeah.
This is not a hard movie to follow.
Yeah.
Can you keep up? How many times have I said that today? Picture this,
because
we're going there.
Uh-huh.
A world of anthropomorphic cars. I love it.
I mean, why not?
I did read that like
anthropomorphic ducks.
Oh, Howard the Duck. I was like, wait, why the fuck did you say a duck?
Because you made me that shit crapper.
I have completely blocked that movie from my memory. I have completely blocked it.
Yeah, I'm so waiting for August.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get me back.
Okay. I love you.
eat pray. Oh, fuck. Okay, Lightning McQueen,
yeah,
a flaming red, fast as hell rookie race car, mm-hmm, is gearing up for the final Piston Cup Dynaco 400 race, where, mm-hmm, he will face off against his rivals.
Probably a reference to Steve McQueen, I'm sure.
You know what? Sure, who's that?
What?
Who's that?
What? What?
Who? Well, tell me who he is.
Steve McQueen. He's okay. He's like up there with the Easy Rider crew, you know?
Oh, does it have to do with cars?
I think he's in the original Blob. That was like before his career got going. But, okay, you know, he's known as like a badass. I think he likes to drive cars.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of things that are going to go over my head because I, again, am not a fan of automotives.
The automotive sect.
Which, again, why are we here?
Hey, we have to tackle things that we do not understand.
Okay, so they're going to race. Mm-hmm. Okay, his rivals are 7-time champ Strip the King Weathers. He's, whoa, like an older car.
Okay.
And underdog Chick Hicks. He's a douchebag.
Chick Hicks.
A little Sheryl Crow pumps Lightning McQueen up. When I want to get pumped up, I turn on Sheryl Crow. Fuck yeah.
Is she the one that wipes with a one thing of paper?
I did read one time that to conserve toilet paper, she only wiped with one square at a time. And I've never forgotten it. I've never, ever forgotten it.
Fuck all of her contributions to the musical world. Like, she only uses one square TP.
What if it's one ply? That's all the only question. Do you make an exception? I don't even know if it's true. Where did I read that?
It doesn't even matter if it's true. Your perception is she uses one square.
Rude. I just have so many questions about it. But anyway, yeah, she's playing the start of the film. Uh-huh. And Lightning McQueen's catchphrase is ka-chow.
Ka-chow.
I just thought you all should know that. Ka-chow.
Nice.
It's a nail-biting race, and it leads to a 3-way tie, which disappoints our pompous little Lightning McQueen, who thought he had it in the bag. Mm. Okay, he's also kind of an asshole at the start of this movie.
Okay.
I'm redemption sure he's reformed. Arc. Yeah. Redemption arc.
Uh-huh.
Now there will be a tiebreaker race between the three leaders in 1 week.
Okay.
So off to California, the race cars go. So on the road trip there, we learn that Lightning is pretty lonely.
Oh.
Because again, he's kind of a self-centered asshat. Yes. Right. He doesn't have any friends. He, mm-hmm, only focuses on himself and racing. And he treated his pit stop crew so rudely at the Dynaco race that they all quit.
Oh, man.
Oh,
bummer.
My gosh. But Lightning doesn't learn, okay? And when his truck driver, Mac, asks to stop for a rest because he's getting woozy. I'm getting woozy here.
He's tired.
McQueen says, absolutely not. We have to get to California.
ASAP.
I got to get there. I got to have my
ASAP
moment.
ASAP Rocky. So, hey, is that a singer?
Yes, and I am absolutely stunned right now. Hold on. I'm so proud.
Did I get it right?
Yes, you absolutely did. Wow.
I don't know where I heard that before.
I was going to say, I'm just absolutely so proud of you right now. Okay, long story short, mm-hmm, Mac falls asleep because, again, he was tired. He falls asleep behind the wheel, and Lightning McQueen ends up stranded in the desert along Route 66 in a forgotten tourist town.
I'm ready. I'm waiting.
That's why I said
for
you
the
would
tour
really
of Route 66.
You would like this movie. It's very cute. So he's in a forgotten tourist town called Radiator Springs.
Okay.
Cute. So on his way in, he wrecks some of the town.
Wow.
And as such is sentenced to community service by grumpy town judge Doc Hudson, who hates race cars.
Ew.
I hate race cars. He's really grumpy. This is Paul Newman.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a voice on him.
He does.
Rest
sexy
in peace. Rest in peace. Oh, okay, Laura. Yeah. Oh, okay, sexy.
Sexy voice.
McQueen's job is to fix the road under Doc's supervision, mm-hmm, in hopes of reviving the town and making it appealing to Route 66 travelers once again.
Yes.
Of course, he rushes and does a shitty job. So instead, Doc challenges him to a race.
Mm.
If Doc wins, McQueen fixes the road to his standards.
Okay.
And if McQueen wins, he can go and Doc will just fix it himself.
Okay.
So they race, and because he isn't used to dirt roads, Lightning McQueen,
loses,
pompous little douche, he crashes and is forced to stay in town. Do you see where this is going?
Where the redemption arc comes in?
The redemption arc is at its peak almost.
Yes.
Okay, so he's not happy to be there and he feels he's missing his big shot in California.
Course.
But at least Radiator Springs is full of a fun cast of characters that he slowly starts warming up, mm-hmm, to. I'm going to list them for you,
okay,
because there's a lot. So you have the goofy and adorable tow truck Mater.
Yeah.
Tomater. Who becomes Lightning McQueen's best friend.
Does he really?
At one point he says, "You're my best friend." And I was like, why am I crying right now at 6 a.m. to the movie Cars? That's where my life is gone. I wonder if year one Lee would have suspected that. You have Sally Carrera, the Porsche. Is it Porsche?
I always just Porsche? Say Porsche.
I say Porsche.
I say Porsche.
Porsche. She's the Porsche town attorney.
Porsche DeRossi.
Rest in peace. Oh my God. Okay. Okay.
Is she married to Ellen?
Oh fuck. Okay. Yeah. Don't listen to anything I've ever said. I don't know. What's gonna... We really need fact check Jake back because sometimes I'm just like saying shit, you know,
and we fly off the cuff a lot here.
You do clock me though. I do get clocked and I love it. 4 years in and I'm still getting clocked to hell. Thank you. You keep me humble. Okay. Anyway, Sally, the Porsche town attorney who is passionate about the town's revival. She really wants to see it, you know, bustling again.
Yeah.
She also works the front desk of the Cozy Cone Motel.
Cozy Cone?
The Cozy Cone Motel. Nice. Where Lightning McQueen is now staying.
Wink.
There are sparks flying between Sally and McQueen, especially after he sees her back bumper tattoo.
She have a tramp stamp.
Lord. Yeah, she does. I thought it was cute. That was a cute little addition.
Is that an offensive word?
I mean, yeah, probably. Lord, way to grow. Just a back tat now.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I kind of want one. I've said this before, yeah. I'll get one right now. Then we have Fillmore, the 1960 Volkswagen van who sells homemade organic fuel.
Of course. Is he my favorite?
He would definitely be your favorite. Yeah. You would be cozying up to Fillmore.
Is this Cheech?
No, surprisingly. Really? Surprisingly, no, that's George Carlin. I know.
Well, that kind of also goes.
Yeah, I read it was maybe a spinoff of one of his characters or something. Then we have Lizzie, the 1920s car who runs the Radiator Springs Curiosity gift shop.
Nice.
You have her energy bit. You do. The Army Jeep Sarge who runs Sarge's Surplus Hut.
Okay.
Flo, the owner of the V8 Cafe. It's like V8. A gas station. Fuel the because V8. It's cars. Get it? Yeah. We have Luigi.
I get it.
We have Luigi who runs Casa della Tires, home of the Leaning Tower of Tires. I thought you'd appreciate that because this is Route 66, so they had to do, you know.
You know, I'm sure there was a big...
Fun little things. There was a big tower of tires.
Hey, roadside curiosity. My favorite.
You love them. Then we have Ramon, owner of Ramon's House of Body Art. So it's like a custom shop, and that is Cheech. I love them. Okay, so Lightning even...
Some custom piercings.
No, like, lore. Like, the... Oh, do you know? Okay. I know. Me trying to explain automotive.
That is just too funny right there. You're like, please don't make me have to explain this.
I was like,
automotive, automotive.
I say automotive instead of car, too, because it makes me feel like I kind of... A little bit.
I know what I'm talking about. Automotive.
Automotive. Leather bound books. So Lightning even one-sidedly starts warming up to Doc Hudson after learning that he used to be a famous race car named the fabulous Hudson Hornet.
Whoa.
Which I think is an actual car, but don't quote me. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
He was so good that he won 3 Piston Cups, but a bad wreck in 54 took him out of the game, and he doesn't like to discuss it. So this is why he doesn't like race cars.
I see.
McQueen finishes fixing the road, but decides to stay in town a bit longer for a little R&R. Okay, he kind of likes it here a little bit.
Cozy Cone.
At the Cozy Cone. Laura's interested in the Cozy Cone. She wants to go stay there. He gets new tires from Luigi, tries some organic fuel from Fillmore, and gets a new paint job from Ramon. So he's like helping the town.
Nice.
Because they were all sad because no one came to visit them anymore.
Aw, sad.
He also helps everyone in town fix their old neon signs. So the town looks alive again.
Love a
neon sign. And he did this because that was Sally's dream, remember? She wanted to see it alive again.
It's one of the things I miss about Seattle was all their cool neon signs.
Seattle did have a lot of really cool, like vintage signage. Yeah. Yeah, I do miss it. But just as he's getting all cozy with Sally, Lightning McQueen is ambushed by the media and scooped up by Mac.
Oh, no.
Turns out Doc tipped them off because he wanted McQueen gone.
Oh.
So like this whole time everyone was searching for Lightning McQueen. Uh-huh. And so Doc was like, hey, he's right here. Get him right the here. Fuck out of my face.
Is there a reward?
Will milk be made available? Okay, so super speed round wrap up.
Yeah.
McQueen reluctantly heads off to California for the Piston Cup race, and the cars of Radiator Springs are devastated.
Aww,
they liked
sad.
Him there. Doc realizes the errors of his ways.
I see.
Oh my gosh, uh-huh. Woe is me. And he rushes the gang off to the race to support McQueen. So they become his pit crew. Look at me.
Nice.
Look at me talking there
pit crew.
Pit crew. With the Hudson Hornet as
changing
pit
the spark
chief.
Plugs. Hey, automotive jargon.
Fill in the dipstick.
Fill in the dipstick? Check the dipstick.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. You're asking me. It's like the blind leading
first
the blind
of all,
here.
I didn't ask you. You rudely corrected me.
I feel like my nose is running.
Okay. Do you need a napkin?
Do I need a tissue?
A napkin?
Do you need a daddy tissue?
If you have a daddy issue.
You need a daddy
here's
tissue.
A daddy
Dude,
tissue.
There are not enough boxes in the world.
preach, motherfucker, yeah. Preach. Okay, mm-hmm. So the Hudson Hornet, he reveals himself. He no longer hides that he used to be a race car.
Wow.
This is Doc. You know, mm-hmm. He's coming.
He's also on his learning journey.
Yes, he is. He's like, fuck.
Doesn't matter how old and crusty you get.
Anymore.
You can still be on a journey.
TM. Cross-stitch that fucking shit on a pillow. So Lightning is about to win when Strip the King wrecks the older car, remember?
Mm-hmm.
McQueen is just about to pass the finish line and win first place.
You know what? But he goes back.
He stops.
He goes back.
And he turns around and he pushes him past the finish line, totally bobsled style.
Whoa.
Oh, whoa. Was
he picked up that bobsled.
He was like, Jamaica, we have a bobsled team. Feel the rhythm. And he pushes him across.
It's bobsled time.
It's bobsled time. Fuck yeah. I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
The douchebag car won.
Of
course. I think that's Michael Keaton, but no one cares because he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And everyone's like,
take your prize money.
Take it. Fuck you. And everyone's like, yay, Lightning McQueen. You're nice.
Yay. Come back to our town.
Woo.
Fix more neon signs.
Well, he's going there.
And that's why there's sequels.
There are
there's
sequels.
More.
Okay,
how many?
So I think there's at least three.
Holy shit.
So even though McQueen comes in last place, he leaves the real winner.
The real wiener. It's a real wiener.
He leaves the top wiener, okay?
And the top dog.
Yeah, exactly. And decides to set up his permanent headquarters in Radiator Springs.
Of course.
To train with Doc and to cozy up to Sally.
At the cozy cone.
At the cozy cone. The end.
You thought it was an ice cream cone and it was a...
It was
an orange cone.
So for my themed mukbang, I said, wait, cozy cone, grab an ice cream cone. And then as I looked at it, I was like, nope, that's a traffic cone. Which makes total sense given
the
theme.
You see where our minds go. Going for the sweets and treats.
I feel like now's a good chip. Now's a good chip stop.
Is this another chip time?
Chip stop.
Okay,
so
what do we got?
Well, do we have to try this? Why don't you try a Funyun?
You love
Funyun? Yeah, let's go Funyun.
Okay, I'll try a Funyun.
Okay.
I'll go.
What did we rate the last one? Did we rate
it? You said two.
Did I say two? Don't lose a tooth. It's happened before.
It has.
It's dusty.
Crunchy, crunchy. That also is not flaming hot.
Literally.
What's making these chips? It's punk.
General Mills.
Amateur.
It's not spicy at all. My eyes? My eyes.
I don't even need a drink of water. I feel like, well, I say that they're not spicy, although that's probably why my nose is running.
I was going to say my eyes are watering. I feel like my eyeliner is running down my face.
Oh.
So maybe
more flaming than we think?
Maybe a little bit. I feel like I have like a little corn kernel stuck in my tooth. What is a Funyun? It's supposed to be an onion ring?
I think it's supposed to be, yes, a chip-themed onion ring.
Dude, grab the Funyuns.
Okay. Grab the Funyuns. Wonder what year those came out.
This
it's
is not
on for a long time.
Despite what it may sound like, my lesson is not Funyuns. On Funyuns, even though that would have been a sick lesson. My lesson is Route 66.
I love
it. I kind of did this for lore.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, it's my gift.
Happy for your birthday,
you.
Lore. Lore loves Route 66.
I do.
If you remember, 2 years ago when we left Seattle and came back to Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. which I know we're all collectively saying, yeah. why did we do that?
Yes.
We don't have an answer for you.
We'll get back to you on that.
We'll get back to you on that. We like stopped off on Route 66 yeah. and we did some episodes so you can
it
go back and listen.
It wasn't even planned.
To go on Route 66?
No.
I don't think we did plan that.
No, we went a stretch in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to tell you all about it because while this isn't a typical lesson, right? I do right. think it's magical in its it own is. Way.
Roadside attractions? Come on.
Come on. And Route 66 has been baked into American folklore for almost yeah. 100 years. And it was obviously a huge part of this film, which... Go ahead, take a slurp. Slurp break. It was a huge part of this film, which is why I think I like it, even yeah. though it's about cars. Mm-hmm. I like this little tie to like the past and yeah. Route 66. They did it very well. It's cute.
Nice.
So one of the film's original titles was actually Route 66.
Cool.
Okay. And we
get
were there.
Kicks.
Like I said, get your kicks on Route 66. So mm-hmm. what is it exactly? I yes. know we may have mentioned it a few years ago when yes. we were, you know, traveling, but I'm going to go in depth.
Good.
Route 66, a.k.a. Highway 66 and the Mother Road.
The Mother Road.
And they call it that in the movie.
Not the Mother Load.
No, that's like, that sounds like a shit reference, like the Mother Load. Mm-hmm. I dropped the Mother Load.
Just discovered the Mother Load of gold.
Oh, okay. You went somewhere
on
different.
On the Titanic. I don't know where I'm going.
Where the fuck did the Titanic come in?
You know, Kate and Leo on that door just popped into my head. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Don't ask where my mind goes.
One gin and fizzy water. And there she goes.
There is no alcohol that's needed to make my brain go this way.
I know. Okay, so Route 66 was one of the first national highways for motor vehicles in the United States numbered highway system. Nice. Okay, so it was established in 1926 and has since become a staple of American pop culture and a symbol of hope / wanderlust.
Oh, I love that. It's
so beautiful. The highway ran from Chicago, Illinois through Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and ended in California. I believe now Santa Monica. It seems like it's changed okay. a little bit. But so I think we hit it in Arizona mainly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So here's some specific cities that yes. I think it runs through.
Okay.
Springfield, Illinois, mm-hmm. St. Louis, Missouri, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Amarillo, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico. So we might have
yeah,
hit it there
that's
too.
Probably, yeah.
Flagstaff, Arizona. That's where we were. And San Bernardino, California.
Oh, nice.
So by the mid 1930s, Route 66 was dubbed the Main Street of America because of how like bumping it was.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And in 1939, John Steinbeck declared it the Mother Road in his book, The Grapes of Wrath.
Nice.
I didn't know that. Did you
know
that?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah, I think it's like a big part of
that movie,
book.
The Grapes of Wrath?
I have not.
Wow.
No.
I think that was required reading in high school.
Oh, you had to read
me.
The Grapes
yeah.
of Wrath? Mm-hmm. I did not. So highway traffic increased, especially long distance from east to west, mm-hmm. either for leisure or looking for better jobs. It gets wrapped up in like the Dust Bowl,
right.
if you are curious mm-hmm. about that.
Sure.
And with the travel brought the need for food, hotels, fuel,
yeah.
etc. So hello, tourism.
Yes.
It was common for novel merchandising methods to be used in order to attract the travelers to like their little slice of the road, right? So themed restaurants, roadside attractions, drive up businesses, a lot of small mom and pop shops.
Yeah.
Like it kept a lot of small businesses
World's
going.
World's largest skillet, largest rocking chair.
Laura loves
Love
that
it.
Part. Loves that part.
Ball of twine.
Jesus on a piece of toast
yes.
or and a piece of cheese. Cheeses. That's a glee.
Jesus.
Grilled cheeses. That's a Glee episode. I just exposed myself. I am a Gleek. Okay. A lot of towns were really built up and themed around Route 66 because
yes.
it completely transformed their economies. Like mm-hmm. it had a huge influence,
yeah.
which is, I mean, that's pretty
that's cool.
The end of World War II, which I think during the war, it said they like even used it for transport, like the military.
Sure.
So the end of the war caused even more traffic
right.
on the Mother Road. And by 1946, Route 66 was such a big deal that it was cemented in pop culture history with a song called Get Your Kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks
on Route 66.
I feel like there were like 15 versions of that song in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So take your pick. It was composed by songwriter Bobby Troup, who got the idea after a cross-country drive on Route 66. We kind of did almost, but little. Okay.
Yeah.
You want like, I want to really get on it
from start to finish. Understandable.
Nat King Cole and his trio originally made the song popular with their recording in 1946, but it has been covered pretty much by anyone and everyone.
All people.
I feel like John Mayer did it in this movie at the end of it. So I did not like it. 0 out of 10. Mm. In 1960, an adventure crime drama TV series titled Route 66 was released and ran until 1964. Do you remember? Do you know about this? Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah.
It featured two dudes cruising the mother road looking for adventures and running into trouble.
Mm.
Ooh, it's like the original Boring Supernatural.
Yes. Boring Supernatural.
Oh, I don't know. It just sounded like a little. Oh, did you love it?
I liked it.
Did you like the show?
I mean, I only have watched it in reruns, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to check it out. All of this only inspired more travelers to get in their cars and go, which is wonderful. However, the rapid expansion meant that Route 66 was carrying a bit more than it was designed to handle.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, again, safety and construction concerns brought on by increased traffic caused the demand for a more advanced highway system.
Yes.
The interstate. Ooh. Dun, dun, dun. So this new interstate system did not have an Interstate 66.
Right.
And as such, the interstate highways caused travelers to completely bypass the Route 66 roads and towns it paralleled.
Yeah.
So in the movie, they do a really good job at showcasing that. So Sally says at one point, quote unquote, 40 years ago before the interstate was built, Route 66 and Radiator Springs was bustling. But when the interstate came, the town got bypassed to save drivers time.
Yeah.
But cars didn't drive on Route 66 to make great time. They drove on it to have a great time.
See, I love
Ouch, my heart broke.
You're not in a hurry when you're on Route 66.
They really, really do a good job in this movie of showing that everyone was just kind of like cruising along and supporting the little businesses.
That's why I want to do it.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's just not the same though.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of those roadside attractions.
You're right. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. So there was definitely an energy shift when the interstate came. Okay.
Sure.
People were more focused on practicality, getting there fast.
Yeah.
Over experience and, you know, when it came to roads, at least, I don't know. And by 1985, Route 66 was formally decommissioned.
Oh, bummer.
Portions of the road and some businesses that made it thrive have been preserved, like you said, and I'm sure they would love for you to come visit.
Yes.
We did stop at some of them.
It was really cool. I loved it.
Yeah, you can see memorabilia. Trinkets and tchotchkes
galore,
museums, signs. If you're into cars, there's a lot of like old cars along that. It is very, very cool. Before Cars was made, a creative team, including some of the writers and filmmakers, went on a historic Route 66 road trip for research on real life locations, aesthetic history. I thought you would appreciate that.
I love it.
And they like talk to people and then they based some of the characters on them. It's really cute.
I love that.
So they were guided by Route 66 historian Michael Wallace.
Mm.
That's a cool title.
Very cool.
Who made a cameo in the movie as the voice of the sheriff.
Nice.
Radiator Springs was inspired by many real life locations on the Mother Road. I'm going to link like in my resources on our website. You can like take a road trip and see what the movie.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Like there's like a Cars tour
of
stuff they were actually inspired by.
Right.
And yeah. It's very cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I did want to make it Uncle Bob's just like a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously with so many cars and travelers, there have been many accidents, not to take a turn.
Yes. Ooh, a dark turn. Creepalicious.
Dark turn warning. Okay. Uh-huh. There have been many deaths on Route 66, right?
Ghosts.
So many that it used to be known as Bloody 66. That was like one of its nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
And with this obviously comes a plethora of spooky stories, urban legends, and ghost hunters along Route 66. Oh, I'm sure.
Of course.
I'm sure he's been all over the place. If you're into spooky or like haunted road trips, this is a good one for you because there are haunted locations all on Route 66.
I love it. We're doing it.
We are going to do it. Here are a few of the most popular haunted Route 66 spots
to
Uncle Bob-ify it a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
In Flagstaff, Arizona, and we passed this and I didn't know it was haunted, the Hotel Monta Vista.
Oh, yeah.
It's very pretty.
Did I get some pictures of that?
You got some pictures?
I think so, yeah.
If you're on our Patreon, Jake vlogged the whole thing.
Oh, my God. Beautiful.
And so you can see footage from our trip. But this is supposedly haunted by the ghost of a bellboy. in one room specifically.
All right.
Then in Stanton, Missouri, you have the Merrimack Caverns. I feel like I've heard of this before.
Okay.
It's supposedly haunted by the ghost of outlaw Jesse James, who famously hid out in the cave.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. He went back.
He never left.
He never left.
He's like, I like it here. I'm going to stay. Then in South Pasadena, California, you have the Rialto Theater, which is just like famous. A paranormal activity hotspot. Yeah. I think I have seen that on some of the shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Claremore, Oklahoma, you have the Belvedere Mansion, supposedly haunted by the ghosts of the Victorian-style mansion's creator and his family.
Wow.
I don't that's like a nice one. They're just nice. Like, hey, we just kind
of... Hey, we're here.
Hey, this
checking
is our
out,
house.
Making sure you're taking care of the place.
Yeah. And lastly, in Amarillo, Texas, you have the Natatorium, which is an old popular music venue haunted by dancing and partying ghosts.
Wow.
They're just like having a good old time.
Well, you know what?
They're
keep that party
there.
Going.
Yeah.
I love that.
So you can go to some of these haunted attractions on Route 66.
Cool.
Isn't that fun?
I love that.
We do have to do it.
We gotta do it.
Gotta get Uncle Bob's
we
on the road.
Do it on the road, man.
That's my lesson.
I love it.
Did you like that as a Route 66
yes.
lover?
Yes.
It did
yes,
make
yes.
me want to like get in the car and like
just
travel
go.
And yeah. see all of the fun shit. And I yes. hope there's still a good amount of small businesses like thriving
yeah.
on. I hope so. Maybe this will inspire some people to go
to hit Route 66
yes.
and get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. Would you like some fun and random facts?
Oh my gosh. You know what I was thinking?
What?
I bought the baby that little tiny shirt on Route 66.
I know. She's already grown out of it.
Before she was born.
I know.
She was just in your belly.
No. Yeah. That was a very weird trip for me because I was really pregnant and sick and we had the dog. And so when you're traveling with the dog, you know, that's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
and then it
you're
snowed.
In the depths of school.
It snowed.
Oh my gosh. Santa Fe walking around in flip flops
yeah.
with a freaking snowstorm.
We were going back to Pittsburgh
in March.
And we like, didn't really want to be, but we felt like we had, like, it was just like a weird,
yeah.
So I do want to go back and give
yes.
it a redemption and like record some really cool episodes there. And
yeah.
I don't know, maybe we should ghost
cool.
hunt.
Ooh.
We've been saying it. We should just
let's
finally
do
fucking do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, fun and random fact time.
Do it.
The soundtrack for the majority of it was car themed, which I do appreciate.
Yeah.
Life is a highway.
Get into my car.
Okay, well, that wasn't. Billy Ocean was not on the soundtrack.
Billy Ocean was not on the. Well, you know what?
Well, then the automotive.
You missed the boat.
Then the automotive
you
playlist fucking
the boat,
sucked.
Then.
No, Life is a Highway was on it, and it was sung by Rascal Flatts. And normally I would be like, please.
I've heard their
please
version.
Absolutely
not bad. Not bad.
Right.
Their version
there's something
is not
about
bad.
The way he says, I'm on a ride.
All night long.
Sounds better than I just said it. But yeah, there is. He puts a little.
Yeah.
Twang in it that is pleasing to the ear.
I think I massaged one of those guys once.
The Rascal Flatts guys?
Yeah, yeah.
You are just an interesting woman, aren't you?
I don't know.
Someone
you know?
Is just going to scoop you up because you would just have so many stories. Were they nice? You said they were nice.
Yeah,
I remember
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Love that for them. Route 66, like I said, John Mayer, smelly breath guy.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly.
Covered it.
He covered it.
Not a good
and
cover.
There was at one point a sad James Taylor song because is it a Disney Pixar film if James Taylor isn't in there making you cry at least one time? Fuck. This was the last film independently produced by Pixar before it was bought out by Disney in 2006.
All right.
It was also the final Pixar film to be released on VHS. So I will
whoa,
find it.
Oh, yeah.
I will find
it. You gotta
it.
Get it. It's
you
not
will
in the
be
collection.
Mine. It is not.
Wow.
But it was the first movie to win a Golden Globe for Best Animated Film.
Nice.
I gotta say. I agree.
Two
this is
up.
Very cute.
Cute.
How many times have I called this movie cute?
I mean, it's
like,
cute.
Probably a lot. You cute. Can't deny that it is cute.
It's cute.
The movie is dedicated to Joe Ranft, the movie's co-writer and co-director, who died in a car accident while this was in production, which I
yikes.
Find to be very
art
ominous
life.
And
yikes.
Weird. I'm so sorry. Rest in peace. This was Paul Newman's last big film before
yeah.
his death.
Yeah.
And it was the highest grossing of his career.
Oh my goodness. Bigger than Cool Hand Luke?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes. And I think I read that it was the biggest of George Carlin's too.
George don't give a shit about that stuff.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Like, eh.
He's like, yeah, whatever. But Paul Newman, that did surprise
Paul Newman,
me.
That is surprising.
While most people know Newman as an actor, he was also a professional race car driver.
I did know that.
I did not know
yes.
that. And he was very passionate
him
about
and Steve
it.
McQueen.
That was like, okay. That was like his main passion. That
yeah.
and making salad dressings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what didn't the man do?
He did it all.
You were just in the kitchen whipping up.
He was in the kitchen making Fig Newmans. I actually think it's his daughter Nell, but...
That, Well, then why isn't Nell on the packaging? Nell, get your face out there,
Nell,
girl.
I think Nell is on some of the
I have not seen
dressings.
Nell. I have not seen Nell.
But Papa, you know.
Papa, can you hear me?
It's a good selling point, Newman's.
His character, Doc Hudson, is based on real-life NASCAR pioneer Herb Thomas, who drove Hudson Hornets. I told you that was a real car, did I not?
Yeah.
To grand national championships in the early 50s before crashes ended his career.
Bummer.
Like the character.
Yeah.
Fillmore is named after the Fillmore Auditorium or Fillmore West, a famous hippie movement music venue from the 60s and 70s.
Great posters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought you'd like that little nod. The insects in the film are shaped like 1960s era Volkswagen Beetles because they are often called bugs.
Oh, cute.
I like that. That's really nice. I was trying not to use the word cute.
Cute. It's so cute. How many different ways can we say cute?
Cute.
So cute.
And lastly, the towns in the film are car references. You can see them on like signs.
Okay.
Wingnut City.
Nice.
Spark Gap.
Nice.
East Honkers.
Honkers. Instead of Yonkers. East Honkers.
Skidmark Lane. I was cackling at that one. Skidmark Lane. That's a good one. Truck me if I had to contribute. Truckville and nice. Pothole City.
Nice.
There
love
you
it.
Go.
They must have been in Pittsburgh.
Pothole City. Fucking hell. Yeah. And that is Cars.
I love it. That's
wasn't
so
that kind of nice?
It is cute.
I like
cute.
That.
Cute.
And
I'm
it really
keep
did.
It.
So cute. It really
so
did.
Cute.
Like, it. I think it did Route 66 justice because someone who saw a little bit of it and just knows what I know from you, it made me want to go and see it and it made me have like an appreciation for what it did. And I just
I
like
that. The expansion.
Yeah.
I love it. What a great time.
What a great time. Go watch it. That's a good one for the whole fam. And as we already spoiled, you have Christine. Do you want to do the last hot chip?
Let's do the last hot chip. What do we got? We already did the Funyun.
The last hot chip is the Flaming Hot Dorito. Get this one. It looks really...
Flaming hot.
It looks really flaming hot. Cheers. Happy 4 years. Oh, I'm eating another one. My crunch wasn't good. Oh, wait.
No, that's a little flamey.
That's a little hot.
That's the hottest.
That's the hottest. I didn't rate the Funyun, did I?
Lackluster.
The Funyun was maybe like a one. It got stuck in my teeth.
This is hot.
Here, are you ready? This is the last crunch.
Okay. Nice. All right. I am going to have to take a drink with this Flamin' Hot Dorito.
Okay. So what do you rate it?
That's clearly the winner. I'll give that a 7.
Okay. If you were wondering what's the most flaming hot, it's the Dorito. Congratulations.
Yay. All right. That means I'm up, cruncher.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm so sorry. You're still crunching.
You caught me.
What did you make yourself hungry while you were like, or rating?
You caught me mid-chip.
I mean...
I think I like those Doritos a little bit.
Yeah, they're good.
I was sneaking another one. Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So I'm up.
You're up.
And as we said, I am doing Christine.
Yes.
Although the on-screen title is John Carpenter's Christine.
Ooh. I wonder, why they do that sometimes.
Ooh. A 1983... horror film.
Okay.
Directed and obviously co-scored because we know John, Mr. Carpenter, loves him some music.
I love the score of this movie.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
It's
I'm just going to put it out there right now. I fuck with this movie. Yeah.
You know, when I think we talked a couple weeks ago, I think when I did House about my repertoire into horror, this is another one.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got Witchboard and House.
Yeah. You've been flexing your horror muscles
and
a little
you know,
bit.
What I'm finding is that, and They Live, of course, The Thing is my favorite, but they all have an element of humor.
Oh, I love, horror
and
comedies
so
are
I
my
think
favorite.
that's, you know, mm-hmm. so it's not as super scary as some of the ones you guys watch.
Yeah.
There is some horror to break up the scares, which I appreciate.
I do like a good balance.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say that's my favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the screenplay was written by Bill Phillips and it's based on the novel Christine by author Stephen King.
There he is.
We haven't talked about him in a while.
I haven't talked to Steve in a while.
Steve. He's busy.
Yeah.
$10 million was the budget and it did $21 million.
Okay.
At the box office. So reviews weren't bad, but it wasn't great.
Oh,
so
really?
The movie has entered cult classic status.
Really?
Since that time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting you say that. Cause I don't know a lot of people that like name drop this one.
Yeah.
As like their favorite.
Right.
Or, yeah.
It's a great movie.
Gets missed a little bit.
It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, my dad, we used to call his truck Christine.
Yeah.
My dad had this pickup truck that was red.
Yes.
But it was like a pickup red, not a Christine, like muscle car red.
It was not cool like Christine.
No, but that thing was holding on by, I don't know, a gum band and a wad of gum.
I said it was going to outlive me.
I know. I don't know how. So we called it Christine because it just
said it
had
was
a
haunted
life
and alive.
That's right.
It was sentient.
That's right. I think that Christine has become part of the lexicon.
It has.
To, you know,
yeah,
indicate
and if you don't know
a haunted
why,
car.
Yeah, you'll get why.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Apparently there's a remake on the table. From Sony and Blumhouse.
Hey.
I mean, come on.
No. You did not just say Blumhouse.
I did.
Hey, leave it the fuck alone. I'm going to have to go on a rant.
A rant?
I'll save it.
Okay. Save it for later.
I have been working it up, though, because would y'all fucking leave some shit alone? Could y'all get a creative little nugget in your brain? I'm getting mean. Okay.
Make new movies.
Quit remaking shit. It's getting fucking old.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
Sometimes you just cannot.
I just had to let it go.
Perfection.
No.
You just had to go. You just had to let it loose.
Do you feel better? No, I still have to rant for another like 25 minutes,
okay.
And then I'll forget about it completely.
We'll come back to that.
Thank you. Yes.
We'll come back to that.
I don't want to bore people with
that
today.
So here's your cast.
Okay.
Keith Gordon stars as Arnie Cunningham.
Arnie.
No relation to Richie or okay. Joni. But we might recognize him from Jaws 2. You wouldn't
because
you slept through the entire
thing.
That
one was very boring.
He was in that. It wasn't. It really wasn't.
According to my eyelids. Yes, it was.
All right. We have John Stockwell as Dennis. Alexandra Paul as Lee Cabot. Spelled the same as yours.
That's a first. Really?
I think that's rare.
I think
so, yeah. Robert Prosky as Darnell.
Okay.
And Harry Dean Stanton as Detective Junkins.
Who's that? I know that name.
Yeah. Like, I think he's in Pretty in Pink, the dad. Green Mile.
Pretty in Pink.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And Kelly Preston.
Oh my God, Kelly.
Has a small cameo role as Roseanne, who of course was married to John Travolta.
Oh my God, there he
R.I.P.
is. Okay.
R.I.P. All right, here is your plot.
Okay.
All right, the musical choices, primo, love them. Mm-hmm. We open to George Thorogood's Bad to the Bone. Bad to the Bone on the day I was born.
Michael Scott.
We're in 1957 in a Detroit auto assembly line. Mm-hmm. The color of the film up to this point looks kind of sepia tone mm-hmm. until that beautiful shiny red 1958 Plymouth Fury rolls off the line.
There's nothing like
nothing.
A 1950s red car.
Oh,
like
so
the color of red is just
stunning.
It's the perfect red.
Yes. As a worker lifts the hood to inspect it, it crashes down, crushing his hand.
Oh my God.
So we're getting, you know, right out of the gate.
This one's got a little spice to it.
This car's got some spice.
Okay.
Minutes later, another worker gets into the car and turns on the radio to Buddy Holly's Not Fade Away, rudely dropping his ashes of his cigar onto the seat of the car.
That's inappropriate.
As the quitting time bell rings, the foreman notices something amuck. The car's lights seem to be on. As he opens the driver's side door of the Red Beauty, a worker slumps out to the ground, dead as a doornail.
Oh my God.
Cigar still hanging off his lips. He's dead.
He said, not in my car,
motherfucker. He's not wrapped in plastic, but he was dead.
But he was dead.
All right. So we're getting the picture that this car does not want to be messed with.
No.
So let's cut to California, 1978.
Okay.
High school football player Dennis rolls up the driveway in his blue muscle car to pick up nerdy BFF Arnie for school.
Yes.
Arnie is, of course, the prime target of the school bullies, Buddy Repperton.
Yeah. Buddy Repperton?
Buddy Repperton. That's this
Buddy
dude's name.
Buddy Repperton.
Yeah, the school bully, the head of the school bullies and his, like, you know, band of flunkies. But yeah, he looks like an exaggerated John Travolta.
Oh, my God.
As Vinnie Barbarino, like in Welcome Back, Kotter, or his role in Carrie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Carrie.
Exactly. They waste no time kicking Arnie's ass around the auto mechanic shop.
Auto mechanics.
Of course. But when Dennis steps in to help Arnie, Buddy and his gang are promptly sent to the principal's office for punishment.
Okay.
He pulls like a switch knife on him. And he's vowing to take care of Arnie later.
What is like 19? You said this was in the 70s?
Yeah.
I feel like the switch knives were 50s. Like a 50s thing.
That's
like
a 50s greaser thing. Yeah. Outsiders.
And then you use it as a comb.
It's dual purpose. It doubles.
One side is blade.
Switchblade.
One side is comb.
Arnie is now reaching maximum geek status with tape on his glasses, right?
Oh,
as he and Dennis head home. On the way, Arnie spots this dilapidated automobile on the lawn of George LeBay's home. Mm-hmm. I think he's the old guy in Home Alone. I didn't fact check that.
Oh, the shovel guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's trying to sell the car, which belonged to his brother, who recently died in it.
Oh, no. Yeah.
He says the car's name is Christine.
You know what? It seems like this car has some history. I might not be interested.
I might not be
in.
Like wanting that. Yeah. Arnie instantly is smitten and asks how much. $250.
Damn, was that a lot in that time or what?
Dennis retorts, that is so expensive.
Oh, my God. No.
You can get a really decent car for that kind of money, Arnie.
Are we all crying right now? Are we collectively crying? I'm crying.
What it costs to buy a car in today's age?
I don't even want to talk about it. There's one sitting outside.
$500 for my first car.
There's one sitting outside where we live that looks like a hunk of fucking junk, and it says $25,000 on it. I almost.
Oh my God! Seriously?
I walked
25,000. I could drive one. No, I probably couldn't drive one off the lot for that. 25K.
No.
Holy shit!
I know there are some people out there thinking that's cheap, and I'm like, no. I'm here to tell you, it's not.
Dude, I paid $500 for my first car. $500 Chevy Citation. Drove that thing everywhere.
That's what it was called.
It had no power steering, no power like windows. You had to crank.
Classic.
And then the steering, it was like every time you wanted to try to turn. Boy, I had some muscles.
You've always had some bad luck with cars.
$500 though.
Well, damn.
You know what? I drove the shit out of that car.
You got to fork over $25,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the same one today.
Probably. Literally. Yeah, right. Arnie doesn't care about the price though.
Yeah.
He must have her.
Okay.
And he quickly.
Nice lore.
He quickly whips out. See how fast my brain goes.
Yeah.
He quickly whips out his checkbook. And that was an acceptable form of payment for
at the time.
Yeah. So his controlling parents are none too happy with the purchase. We get the notion that pretty much, you know, they have Arnie on a tight leash.
Okay.
And he, for the first time, is tugging on said leash.
Okay.
They will not, however, allow this car to grace their lawn. So Arnie rents a space at Darnell's garage so he can work on fixing up Christine.
Okay.
Darnell even offers Arnie a part-time job cleaning up around the place and delivering parts to help pay for the reno.
Okay, not a bad deal.
Right. Darnell is not convinced Arnie will be able to polish up this huge turd because it is in rough shape.
It is looking rough.
It's looking pretty bad. But the more time Arnie spends with the car, which must be a lot because it sure does return to its former glory very quickly.
He knew what he was doing.
Right. I'm like, I didn't know you were an auto mechanic.
It's hard.
Right. Easy peasy. Arnie's attitude and wardrobe begin to make some changes little by little.
I love this transformation in this movie.
Arnie begins donning the 1950s greaser chic,
yeah,
an homage to the Western B movie costuming. He even can be seen looking like he walked off the Rebel Without a Cause set,
yeah,
wearing James Dean's iconic red jacket. Mm-hmm. His take no shit attitude is beginning to worry his parents, who are not used to the tude.
Where's my angel of a son?
Right. Even Dennis is concerned.
Right.
Arnie's confidence is climbing, and he is even ballsy enough to ask out the hot dish.
The hot dish? Does he say hot dish?
He doesn't.
Damn it, Laura.
The hot dish of a new girl named Lee.
L-E-I-G?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
A feat no one else has seemed to accomplish because she's been turning down every guy in school.
Classically.
Until Rebel Arnie
right.
gives her a ring.
Right.
But will Lee make the cut because she's number two? Christine is number one.
Oh, my, okay.
It's not looking good for her as Arnie sits in the car and it begins to serenade him. Just promise me, darling, your love in return. There's fire in my soul, dear, forever burns.
Go, girl. Give me the whole
tune. So there you go. My heart is your command, dear. You know, the car is serenading him.
Don't even fucking try it,
she's
buddy.
She's like, I love you. You're mine. That's what she's saying. I love you and you're mine.
Right.
Right?
So don't even fucking try it.
That's correct.
With Lee. Uh-oh.
Lee, you're out of here.
Yeah.
Dennis is worrying more and more about Arnie's obsession with the car, and he makes a little visit back to where they bought it, demanding an explanation.
How'd your brother die?
That's right. He explained that his brother was also obsessed with Christine, and nothing ever came between them.
Okay.
And if it did, it wasn't pretty.
Oh, no.
His 5-year-old niece choked to death in it.
Oh, my God.
And his only concern was for the car. When his wife took her life, he still did not relent. His brother made him get rid of the car, but after 3 weeks, it came back, and his brother then died in it.
It came back?
Okay. I know. In the movie, Dennis is like, it came back, you wanna, and he just like,
gonna need you to expand on that a little bit.
Enough said right there. So Dennis is like, what the fuck? And sneaks into Darnell's to scope out the sitch in the middle of the night all by himself. No, sir.
Absolutely
no,
not.
Sir.
Why are you
count
doing
me
that?
Out. No.
No.
When he attempts to open the door to the car, the radio begins belting out Little Richard's, I keep on knocking, but you can't come in. I mean, this movie,
I do love that.
The song, it's like the car is talking in their voice through music, and it's so great. Dennis possibly shits himself and then runs far away.
Right.
The next day at the football game, Arnie arrives with gal pal Lee and a fully restored Christine.
What? Okay.
Dennis is a bit creeped out and quickly falls victim to an accident.
What happened?
In the line of playing.
Say it isn't
a football scene. Football, foosball, Bobby Boucher.
Sports.
Right. He is hurt.
Look at us. Look at us talking sports and cars.
And it's, I know, right? This is,
and they say,
this is a celebration. We don't know. The injury was severe enough to land him in the hospital and end his hopes of a future football career.
Oh my God.
He's done. He's out. Well, Dennis is out of commission and in the hospital.
Denny.
Let's speed round wrap this up.
Okay.
The car gets jealous of Lee while she and Arnie get frisky at the drive-in.
In the
movie
car?
Theater. In the in car.
No.
It's pouring down rain.
Ooh.
It attempts to snuff her out by choking her on a hamburger.
Oh, okay.
Take out her gas and light. She's like choking on a burger.
The opportunity was right there.
It turns itself on and starts humming Richie Valens, "You're Mine and We Belong Together."
You're
for eternity.
Mine and we belong together. For eternity.
There you go. Sing it, girl. Sing it.
I do love Richie Valens. You know I do.
You love Richie Valens.
Okay.
This means Lee cannot be part of
she's
this
like,
equation.
So anyway, I'm not really feeling the whole choking on
you
the
know,
burger.
You know, she's choking on the burger. The door is locked. Arnie can't get in, and she is saved in the nick of time by a concerned citizen.
Oh, my God.
Someone else watching the movie.
Way to go.
Lee begins to question her relationship with Arnie.
Is this worth
she's
it?
She's pretty sure the car is out to get her.
Yeah.
Later that night, the Repperton gang, you know, Buddy, the John Travolta wannabe,
yes,
breaks into Darnell's and thrashes Christine. And I mean, they thrash her.
Yeah.
Have no fear, though, because she completely repairs herself right in front of Arnie's eyes.
So she's got like healing powers,
Christine.
Too. Christine. Christine.
Christine. Christine.
Yeah.
Over the next 2 days, the car takes out the entire gang with extreme prejudice.
Oh, my God.
No mercy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Darnell begins to get a little suspicious of that, you know?
This is his garage, like, too. He's like, so anyway, what's going on here?
Did this car just pull itself in here? You know that old saying, curiosity killed the cat.
Oh, no, well, Darnell.
Curiosity killed Darnell.
No, Darnell.
And the cops are beginning to suspect that Arnie might be involved somehow. I don't know, because it's his car.
Because all of a sudden, he's looking like fucking...
What's his name? Crater face in Greece.
That was an interesting. I was gonna say Kanicki.
Kanicki.
You went with
it's Grease Lightning. Well, he races Crater Face.
You do,
you know what?
He's both.
And he gets his blades out and rips through both. That car. Talk about another car one.
We love car films.
We do. We do. Anyway, Detective Junkins is giving him the interrogation.
I'm sorry, did you say Junkins?
Junkins.
It's just bad. Okay. Junkin. Detective Junkins.
Junkin. He likes to eat Duncan. Coffee and does.
I love when you rhyme.
He's giving him the interrogation, but his alibis check out, right?
Yeah.
But Lee and Dennis know something is amok.
The car.
And they team up to save their friend, whose cheese has most definitely slid off of his cracker.
Yeah, Arnie, no.
All right, here's how the showdown happens. At garage,
yeah.
Darnell's, right? Yeah. At one point, Arnie, now driving Christine, attempts to run Lee down.
Oh my God.
I love you. Nope, I'll take you out.
Just kidding, I'm going to fucking run you over.
He is thrown out the windshield and impaled with a shard of glass.
Arnie is.
Wow. He has a tender moment with Christine, reaching up to stroke her grill one last time.
I love your grills.
The radio sings Pledging My Love by Johnny Ace, and Arnie dramatically dies.
Rest in peace, you motherfucker.
R.I.P. Arnie.
You crazy bitch.
Lee and Dennis come to the battle royale, but Christine is tough. She's a tough opponent. Every time they think they got her, she just repairs herself.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, finally they end up flattening her with a bulldozer.
Well, that'll do it.
And later, look on as she is crushed into a cube at the junkyard. Mm-hmm. Too bad the onlookers are oblivious to the slight movement of Christine's grill.
That grill, man, it's putting in work.
Right?
It is.
It's the end, you know?
Or is it?
No stinging bulldozer can take out Christine.
I do love
this
one.
Is there a continuation?
I do really, like, I forgot how much I like this one. Yeah, it's so good.
I love it.
I like this story. I think it's cool.
Yeah. It just brings back such memories and nostalgia.
I feel like that's a good one. It does. And I do feel like if you aren't into the super scary ones, this one's like a...
Yeah. And again, that's some of that comedic relief.
Right.
I love when I see people at the drive-ins in movies,
yeah,
because that was such a huge part of my childhood.
I do
that
like
is
drive-ins.
Like something that we did all the time.
Yeah. I used to do it, but then it did start by the time I was like, I don't know, 20, it had kind of, yeah, they're hard to find now. You can find them, but
you can, there's not too many around. And I can remember exactly what my parents packed as snacks.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my mom and dad had this old Coca-Cola cooler.
They loved Coca-Cola. They loved things.
They collected all this Coca-Cola shit, but they had this old cooler that was like so heavy.
And I feel like I remember the cooler you're talking
about.
Yeah, and
they actually used it.
Right.
But it would sit like in the center, so your feet had to be on top of it because,
oh my God,
you know, your car was not. Wise potato chips.
Okay.
Mr. Salty pretzel sticks.
Mr. Salty.
The little pretzel sticks. Yeah. Mr. Salty only, and only Wise potato chips.
Okay.
And Nutter Butters.
Okay. I mean, I like a Nutter Butter.
That's a good snack. Sometimes a Twizzler if we were good.
Twizzler was a treat. Good to know.
I mean, and we never had junk food in our house, so it was always nice when you got to go to the...
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, between movies, when that would come on, we would get to go to the snack bar.
Oh, my gosh.
My gosh, maybe get a hot dog or a burger.
I can't wait to take October to the drive-in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know where there is one around here.
There are a few. In the Pittsburgh area. Yeah.
A few left. Mm-hmm. I loved going to the drive-in. Oh, so exciting. All right. So here's a few fun facts.
Okay.
All right. The movie began filming in April of 1983, which was only days after the novel was released. So he was such a big deal before he even wrote this novel that they were already like buying up the rights for it. And like,
oh my God,
yeah,
really?
Right? Crazy.
Ew, why?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
because he was a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Anyway, Stephen King was quoted to say that Christine was a movie that should have been good.
Oh, no.
But it just wasn't.
What?
And it actually bored him. He'd rather have a bad movie than a boring movie, and this was boring.
I didn't think it was boring, King.
Wow.
Why are your panties in a twist?
I know.
Coming at John Carpenter like that, first of all.
I know. The master. All right, the film is parodied in a Futurama episode entitled The Honking. And then, of course, as you said the other day, in an episode of The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, entitled The Tricycle of Terror.
That's hilarious.
The movie Halloween Ends, director David Gordon Green stated the film is a love letter to the movie Christine and John Carpenter's work as well, like his body of work.
Okay.
So there you go. Nice. King chose the 58 Plymouth Fury because it was not a well-known car. He didn't want a car that already had a rep like the Thunderbird or like a lot of the cars in the 50s. Now, in the novel, Christine is possessed by the former owner.
Uh-huh.
So in the movie, it's different. Christine's birth scene, of course, starts in the Detroit factory.
Right.
Making her evil from the time of inception.
Just from the get-go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The movie's budget was considered, you know, a hefty sum was like 15% of the budget was spent on cars.
Oh,
to which only two survived at the end of filming.
Oh, my God.
And one was sold in 2004 for $167,000.
Holy moly.
Yikes.
Okay, we thought $25,000 was bad. Well,
paltry.
When you put it like that,
right? Arnie actor Keith Gordon states he got into the role by pretending Christine was a woman. And anytime he touched the car, he envisioned what part of the woman he was touching.
Stop that right now. I was going to side with you there, Arnie. I was going to say you can kind of tell.
You can tell.
But I don't need to hear about your methods, Arn.
Method actor.
No, thank you.
Keith Gordon.
Was the girl the breast?
One last
caress.
Kevin Bacon was offered the lead acting part.
Well, what the fuck?
Well, he declined.
Where's my bacon?
He declined to
Why
star.
Why did he decline?
To star in a little movie called Footloose.
Well, you know what? I should shut my mouth because God forbid we didn't have him as Red McCormick. Can you fucking imagine?
Nicolas Cage auditioned for the role of Buddy, the Travolta wannabe.
Okay.
Pulling a switchblade. The Cage.
I would have bought it. Yeah.
And John Cusack auditioned for the role of Arnie.
He would have been a good Arnie. Oh, he would have been a really good Arnie.
Probably would have.
It probably would have been a bigger movie.
Yeah.
If John Cusack ended up being Arnie.
The Cuse.
No offense.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. John Carpenter added to the creep factor, in my opinion, by blacking out the windows of Christine. So the viewer could not tell if Arnie was driving the car or if Christine was driving herself.
Oh.
So I was trying to do that through the second watch through. I was like, is he driving or is the car driving itself? And you can't kind of tell.
That's neat. I like that.
Right?
Yeah, that's clever.
And of course, it wouldn't be a horror movie if there was not a Pittsburgh connection.
There it is.
All right. There's a Pittsburgh tie to the novel because apparently Stephen King was filming Creepshow in Pittsburgh with George Romero and his wife, Christine, at the time. And that's when he got the idea for the novel Christine, naming the car Christine after Romero's wife.
Aww.
Cute.
Well, that's nice.
Yes.
Wow, Pittsburgh, there you are again.
There you are again. You made the chat.
You dirty old bastard.
Yeah, always here. All right, so here is my lesson. What do you think it is?
Haunted cars, please.
Of course. Cursed cars.
Ooh.
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of a cursed car is, of course, James Dean's Porsche 550 Spider, which he dubbed Little Bastard.
I was going to say, talk about the Little Bastard.
Now I know I covered this one before.
On Patreon. Oh my God, that was
Patreon
so long ago.
So I'm just going to recap it.
Okay.
Although the car seemed to be giving off some harsh vibes when it rolled off the assembly line, much like Christine. And I feel like there is definitely some homage with him wearing the red jacket and all that kind of stuff. An actor friend pleaded with James Dean not to drive the car because it was giving off Some bad energy. But James paid no mind, and the rest is history. The world lost a promising young 24-year-old actor in 1955.
24. Oh, my God.
Only three movies to his credit. You know, when he was off to a race, because he was a race car driver, so he was going off to a race and wrecked the car and died.
Yeah.
But if that isn't enough to get the hair standing up on the back of your neck, hold on to your seats, because after Dean's death, the car was parceled out for parts.
Yeah.
The transaxis and the transaxle, something.
Talk that automotive talk, girl.
And the engine went into two different race cars that were both owned by doctors. Mm-hmm. And they both were racing in the same race, and they both crashed the car. In the one instance, the driver was killed, and in the other, he was paralyzed.
Yikes.
The car continued to wreak havoc, falling off the back of a trailer three times during transport, crushing a driver in the process. It fell on a mechanic, breaking his legs another time. Yes. Someone bought it with the intent of restoring it to its former glory, but the garage it was being housed in burnt to the ground.
Oh, my God.
The only thing that survived was the car.
Nope.
Not damaged. A couple of thieves tried to rip out the seats and the steering wheel, only to be met with injuries. I think the door fell on his arm and broke it.
That's wild.
Finally, the California Highway Patrol, or CHIPS for short. Did you ever watch that show?
Chips.
Eric Estrada. Chips. Dude, I used to watch that.
I totally forgot about
Chips.
That.
Chips. Eric Estrada. Paunch. They either bought it or borrowed it from somebody. Okay. And their intention was to display the vehicle to serve as a warning on the ills of bad driving.
Okay, ooh, that's in bad taste.
That is in bad taste. Under their watch, the car fell off the display, crushing a student's hip. Yikes.
Not the hip.
And following several mishaps, the CHIPS decided to part ways with Little Bastard.
They're like, never mind. Please get this thing away from us.
Get this car out of here. Which mysteriously disappeared for a bit.
I know. Like no one could find it until.
Until somehow parts resurfaced. The transaxle bought in the paltry sum, $382,000 someone paid for just a piece of this car. In a bidding frenzy, do we know the winning bidder?
Yeah, I
was
know.
None other than.
Hello, Zach Bagans.
How
are you, buddy?
And you can now see this in his museum in Las Vegas.
Me and
which
Jake
you
saw
went.
It when we went on our Route 66 road trip.
Your track.
Our road trip. Yeah, we saw it. Yeah, it's in like, it was at least when we were there. And I think we might have talked about it in the Las Vegas episode. But it was like in its own room. And I didn't like it. I'm not going to lie. I did not like being in the same room as that, as the car pieces.
Well, I went through and I was picking out cursed cars, but then also a few like famous haunted cars came up. And one was Jack Kevorkian's 68 Volkswagen van.
Okay.
So if we know who Jack Kevorkian is, he is a doctor that aided in like assisted suicides for people that were terminally ill. A lot of them happened in the van.
Right.
Of course, Zach Bagans bought that.
I think it's outside. Yeah, he has a few cars outside
David
of the museum.
David Koresh's from Waco.
Yes. Yep.
He has his Camaro.
Right.
So there you go, Zach Bagans.
I mean, Zach Bagans, you've done it. You've created one weird as fuck museum.
Yeah.
So
I feel like there's a lot of pop culture moments.
And
that
yes, I know he likes feet. They're still tagging us.
They're still tagging us in this. Oh my gosh.
Stop it right now.
So I know there's like a lot of pop culture moments out there with this car.
And right.
I know there's a Supernatural episode.
With the James Dean car?
With the James Dean car, yeah. So that is fascinating. You can deep dive into that, read more about it.
I'm sure we'll talk about it again at some point.
It's interesting. But next up we have Franz Ferdinand's car.
The band?
Not the band. Okay. The Archduke of Austria.
Of course.
And his death limo.
Death limo?
It's called a Graf and Stift luxury limo.
Okay.
And it was used to transport Franz around Sarajevo on June 28th, 1914.
Okay.
In the early part of the day, Franz and his wife escaped death after an attack led to like a grenade explosion. Somebody threw a grenade and it went off. They were safe, but a lot of people were injured in the process.
Okay.
They weren't so lucky. So they were on their way to the hospital to check in on these injured people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the assassins was sitting in a cafe pining over his missed opportunity.
Oh my God.
And spotted out of his eye the Archduke's car, which happened to be stalled. It like stalled out right in front of the cafe, and he walked out and shot them both in the head.
Are you kidding me?
Right. And assassinated the royal couple, which then would trigger the beginning of World War I. So then people were saying, wow, all those millions of deaths as a direct result, right? But that it doesn't stop there because the car continued to cause carnage.
Okay.
So throughout World War I, all the way into the 1920s, the car was owned by 15 different people and was responsible for 13 deaths.
Holy fuck.
There was an Austrian general who went mad while driving the car and ended up in an asylum. The governor of Yugoslavia saw 4 accidents in the car and actually loss of an arm. This was enough of a clue to say, okay, let's get rid of this car.
I was going to say, why are we still having this car around?
But he sold it to a friend as like a dare. And 6 months later, he died in a crash.
Why the fuck would you do that?
Why would you do that? Look what you did to your friend. You'll never, you'll never...
Look what you did to your friend.
You'll never live through
that. That's really fucked up.
I know, right?
My God. Then there was the type of friends I make. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't you want this car?
I have something for you.
Then there's a German army captain who was trying to avoid two pedestrians, but he didn't do such a great job because not only did he die, but he also killed the two pedestrians. But the list goes on and on until finally the car would be retired to the War History Museum in Vienna in 1926, where I'm surmising it has behaved itself ever since.
Is it still there? I'm not going to say. I don't want to see that one. I'm staying away from that one.
Right?
Ew.
But this last one is even worse. It's called the Golden Eagle.
Okay.
Which is a limited edition 1964 Dodge 330. I sound so...
You know what? Look at us.
I sound so mechanical.
Cars.
No.
Automotive.
Yeah. Well, it earned the name the most evil car in America.
Oh.
Yes. Beginning its life as a police vehicle, it wasted no time in solidifying its rep as evil because not one, not two, but three police officers who drove in the vehicle up and one day just murdered their families and then took themselves out afterward.
Oh, okay.
And instead of incinerating it, they of course sold it.
Well, so you got to get that dough, baby.
The death toll. The death toll just kept rising, right, as the car would, without warning, just open its doors while cruising down the highway, you know, sending people to their deaths.
Oh my God.
And allegedly an entire family went up in flames, you might say, after one of the kiddos touched the car on a dare. The house burnt down to the ground.
Jeez, oh man, right? I don't like it. Finally,
a local church group pronounced the car possessed.
Thank you, yes.
And took it apart piece by piece. Now, where all those pieces are, I cannot tell you, but we know from
maybe
James...
Maybe we got strapped now with one. Maybe.
But now we know that with James Dean's car, even though they parceled out all the parts, that did not deter it.
Yeah,
so what are your thoughts? Can cars be cursed?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think anything can be cursed, really. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, just given my thoughts on spirits, like I would imagine if you have an attachment to the vehicle, you can attach to it.
Yeah, but these ones are like, these cars were cursed from the beginning.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I would have to think more deeply about like how that could happen.
How does that
like
happen?
I don't know. Like, yeah, while it's being made, energy, right, just like goes into it while it's being made. I don't know.
That's kind of
weird,
but yes, right?
I absolutely think that can happen.
Yeah, so although not cursed, but perhaps haunted, two that came up were JFK's Lincoln that he was assassinated in. Mm-hmm. And also Bonnie and Clyde's bank robbing Ford Model 18.
Well, I think any that experienced an event like that is bound to be.
Yeah. When you think about them, those two perished as the cops pumped more than 100 bullets into that vehicle. So it's like, as well as Bonnie and Clyde.
I'm sure the bullets are like still in the vehicle.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's on display. So they're both of these cars are in museums.
So all of that
and eyewitness accounts are like, there's ghosts hanging around these cars.
Energy, blood.
Yeah.
No.
Violence.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely haunted.
So haunted. But cursed, like that is interesting. Where does that come from? As it's like already killing people before, like as it rolls off the assembly line. Because James Dean's car, he had just got it. I don't even think he had really driven
it
that much.
Well, because I think a curse implies like it happens once and then it keeps rolling. So just it came out swinging and then it's like, let's just keep this thing going.
Yikes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Scary.
Woo, but that's what I got.
I like that, Laura.
Yeah.
Up top.
Cool.
That was a really cool lesson.
Fun.
If you haven't seen Christine, I would say check it out. Or if you liked her, I haven't read the book, but
yeah.
I mean, if you'd rather do that, I think it's a cool story.
Absolutely.
I liked our little themey day.
Ew, fun.
I kind of have been liking when we do themes more.
I know.
Look how well that meshed.
I love a theme.
Look how well that flowed.
Flowed so well.
Who knows what we're going to do this year?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what? On Patreon, there have been talks about like a rewatch thing going on over there where we watch, they want us to watch the entire series of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Let's do it.
And like give our
namesake.
You know, yeah, that's why they were like, you gotta do Buffy. That would be
but
fun.
You always skip the first season because you don't like Angel.
Well, I wouldn't be allowed. I think the people want to hear my thoughts on.
It was talk about wanting to get some time back when I, you know, after this Buffy series was over and then I had to go over to Angel just so I could see Spike.
No.
It was treacherous.
It's just, no.
Torment.
You've
torment.
You did that to yourself.
I did it to myself, but I had to see Spike.
I act like it doesn't exist. Trash can is where that
belongs.
Spike or no Spike, it just belongs in the trash can. thanks for celebrating with us. We hope you liked that episode.
Yeah, we hope. That was great.
Who knows? Maybe we're going to be like getting in the car and fucking going for an adventure in the next few years. I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Maybe we'll see you all along the way.
Yeah. Ooh, fun. All right, everybody.
Happy 4 years,
Uncle Bob. Happy 4 years. TTFN.
Catch you next week. Cut, print, check the gate. Moving on.